Erius Per Gimel, Mishnah Zion 3:7. Now we turn to four machloksim between Rabbi Yehoshua and the Chachamim. I believe we're going in sort of in declining order of age of these Tanaim, it seems. And whether or not that's the case, so Rabbi Yehoshua, he is going to have 4 points of contention. They're all kind of revolving on Tumah and Tahara. In all cases, Rabbi Yehoshua is going to be Machmer, saying it's Tami. The Chachamim are going to say it's Tahor. And the basic common thread for all four of these, and actually at least really only just two, but anyways, the common thread for all four cases is that normally the rule is that if we have a suffix, an uncertain situation regarding the spread of Tumah, so the governing rule is that if that question arises in what's called the Rishus HaRabim, which means in the context of these halachas, a place where there are at least three people, so then we say suffix Tumah b'Rishus HaRabim Sfeiko Tahor. If it arises in a public place where there's three people or more, then we assume, we treat it as being tahor. And if it's safek tumah b'rishus hayachid, if the question arises in a private place, meaning that there's two or fewer people, so then we rule that it's tameh. So these are kind of borderline cases, two of them, and two of them have to do with the mitzora. So the mitzora, the person who has tzaras, that's skin affliction, who is a very potent source of tumah, kaveis tumah in a variety of ways, including maga and masa and heset. If you touch him, he touches you, you move him, he moves you, you bear his weight, he bears your weight, then tumah is conveyed from the mitzora to the person or the utensil that's being touched or carried, whatever the story is. In addition, the unique to the mitzora conveys tumah by way of what's called bia, meaning like entering into the room. So it's very similar to ohel. It's not ohel. All we had before that was being under the same roof as a corpse or a significant portion thereof. But it's similar, and I'm not going to highlight the differences here. Just simply the point is that if a mitzora is under the same roof as a potential recipient of tumah, and the mitzora is stationary, so then the tumah will spread by way of bia. Okay, so that means everything under the same roof as a stationary mitzora becomes tummy. Now, there's a machlokas here between Rabbi Yehoshua and the Chachamim regarding this particular issue. According to the Chachamim, although the general rule is that safek tumah b'rishus hayachid sfeiko tamei, they said that doesn't apply to the mitzora for whatever reasons. Okay, they're beyond the scope of our discussion at the moment. Okay, but the rule is that they say that tzaras is a little different, and that general rule of stringency doesn't apply when it comes to the mitzora, and therefore questions that arise regarding the transfer of tumah from a mitzora through bia will be ruled essentially lenely according to the Chachamim, even in a rishus hayachid. That's the gist of the first half and most of the second half as well. So here the Mishnah says inside as follows. Arba sfeikos Rabbi Yehoshua mitame. There are four questions that could arise about whether or not tumah spread, and Rabbi Yehoshua said, yes, it did. We rule it tummy. V'chacham mitar, and the chacham say, no, we treat it as tahor. Ketzad, what are the cases? The verse is hatame omid v'tahor over. You have a tame person, specifically a mitzora, who's standing still under an overhang, whether that's a tree or a roof or inside a building or something. And the tahor over, the person who's tahor passes by, and it's not clear whether he passed by underneath the roof or didn't go under the overhang or not, okay? Or if he touched or bumped into or any of the above to the mitzora. The point is, the question arose whether or not the mitzora transferred his tumah, even in a rishus ha-yachid. Everyone agreed in rishus ha-ram would be tahor, but in a rishus ha-yachid, so that's the machlokas here. Or similarly, hatar omed, if the stationary person or object is under a roof, vatame over, and then the mitzora passes by. And we're not sure if, while he passed by and like potentially under this overhang, that the Torah thing was there, maybe he stopped and stopped long enough to transfer to him or not. It's a question. He stopped to tie his shoe, and we're not sure when he stopped to tie his shoe, was he under the overhang, or that was beyond the overhang. We don't know. Okay, those are the first two cases where it's involving a mitzora and a rishus hayachid. The second two cases are essentially where it's the tumah and tahara, the tumah source and the tahara recipient, potential recipient, are in different domains. One is in rishus hayachid, one's in rishus haram. So the cases are tumah b'rishus hayachid. You have the tumah source in rishus hayachid. Let's say there's a dead rat in the entranceway to a shop which abuts the public thoroughfare, where the shop is a private place, there's only one person there, the shopkeeper, and a dead rat, and the person's walking the street, and we're not sure if when he, you know, walked past, did his foot, you know, touch up against the dead rat, which is kind of on the line there, on the inside there, in a private place, but just close by, or not, we don't know. But Tahara Rishus Aram, the Tahor person who walked past was in the Rishus Aram, the public eye. Or the fourth case is Tahara Rishus Yachid. The thing that was the potential recipient was inside the shop. The shop had a clean utensil on the floor. And Vatuma Rishus Aram, and a Zav or Nida or whatever was walking past. And again, may have bumped into it. We're not clear if it bumped, the bumping occurred or not. So in those two later cases, what's happening is you have the source of Tuma in one, I'll call it halachic domain, Rishus Yachid Rabim, and the recipient in the other, opposite one. And the question is, do we treat this as Safek Tum Rishus Rabim and make it be lenient, or Safek Tum Rishus Yachid and make it be strict? Okay, that's the machlokas. And in those cases, says the Mishnah, Safek Naga, Safek Lo Naga, maybe they had contact, the source and recipient had contact, or maybe they didn't. Safek Hail, Safek Lo Hail, or maybe if we're talking about someone who has Tumas Ohel, whether we're talking about, like, say, like a piece of corpse Tuma, you know, that was inside the house, maybe even this could be also potentially referring to a Mitzora passing by, and Ohel means like Bia. Safek Hesed, Safek Lo Hesed, maybe he moved it or didn't move it, like the Zav moving things and conveying Tuma even without direct contact. In all those cases, we're not sure if Tuma transferred or not. Rabbi Yeshua Matam, Rabbi Yeshua says, we assume strictly, and the Chacham say, Matar, no, we don't. So let me speak out the cases again. So the first two cases were, we're not sure if the source of the Mitzora and the recipients were under the same overhang at the same time, with the Mitzora being stationary. Either the Mitzora was moving or the recipient was moving. Again, so there, the Chacham say the general rule of Safek Tum Rishus Yachid does not apply, and therefore the recipients would be Tahor. Okay, in the latter two cases, it's sort of like a question of a liner, as you call it, as children, right? There's a tuma in the Yachid and Rabim, and the recipient in the other one. And the question is, do we look at this as a Rabim event or a Yachid event? Again, the Chacham here are ruling leniently, saying we're treating all both sides, if you will, as a Rishus Rabim event and making it Tahor. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, we'll treat it as a Rishus Yachid event and make it Tameh, because it's a Suffolk. Halach in all these cases be like the Chachamim. It is a little more complicated. The truth is, the way the Rambam rules, if the Tuma source is sitting in a Rishus HaYachid and it's a Safek if the Tummy person touched it, and that's a straightforward case, which is kind of how I described it in the Mishnah already. So the Rambam actually rules in that case, it would be Sveiko Tummy, because we're a Safek of what occurred in Rishus HaYachid. That's the case of Safek Tum Rishus HaYachid. And he makes it a little more complicated where you have some Tuma and Tahara things staying one in Rishus Yachid, one in Rishus Rabim, and you're not sure which one you touched. So you're not sure whether the event happened in the Yachid or Rabim, and that's why the Tzafik Tuma is ruled to be leniently Lahalacha. So it's a little more complicated than the Mishnah later on, but that is how it's ruled Lahalacha.